call the office in the morning, sir.
All right, thank you. And then I guess the recap, or should I be on?
You can call the office in the morning. Next case.
Case number 12992, Brian and Wendy Feldman seek variances from the front yard setback requirements for proposed structures. Section 115-34 and 115-182 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located east of Venetian Drive within the Seabreeze subdivision. The 911 address is 8 Venetian Drive in Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is MR. The tax parcel is District 334, map 20.17, parcel 6. We have 0 letters of support, 0 letters of opposition, and no mail return. And the applicant is seeking variances of a 4.8-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for the dwelling, 11.2 feet from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for the steps, a 7.2-foot variance from the 30-foot setback requirement for the dwelling, 7.89 feet from the 30-foot setback requirement for the dwelling, 9.5 feet from the 30-foot front yard for steps, 8.6 foot variance from the 30-foot front yard for the dwelling, 9.6 foot variance from the 30-foot setback requirement for the dwelling, 8.3 foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for the dwelling, an 8-foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for the dwelling, and 4.89 foot variance from the 30-foot front yard setback requirement for steps.
Come forward and be sworn in.
Ms. Norwood, those are based on the newer survey that we got.
The newest survey we got today.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Yeah, my name is Mason Hayes, 20852 Brunswick Lane, Millsboro, Delaware.
Hi, Wendy Feldman, 9316 Chesley Road, Potomac, Maryland, 285.
And do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
May I present your case?
Yeah. So I'm going to read a quick statement, then I guess we can go to questions. So Brian and Wendy Feldman have hired my company, Oak Construction Company, to tear down and rebuild their home at 8 Venetian Drive in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. This property is unique because it's located within the Seabreeze community, whose covenants predate the Sussex County Zoning Code. Additionally, the property is uniquely located directly on a canal off the Rehoboth Bay. The Seabreeze setback covenants require a 30-foot rear setback and allow for a 20-foot front setback. This front setback contradicts the county's 30-foot front setback. We have received approval from the HOA for the home we're proposing today. If we were to build in compliance both the county's and HOA setbacks, the Feldman's building envelope would be very small and difficult to develop. Given that, the existing house on the property already sits at 20 feet from the property line, front property line, and two, most homes on Venetian Drive and Seabreeze similarly sit about 20 feet off of their respective property lines, we believe the variance we're requesting is minimal and does not alter the existing character of the community. Rather, it conforms with the neighborhood's character. I'd also like to add that we were going to be replacing the bulkheads in the rear on the canal, and usually you would do that with a clear lot. It's much easier to do it then when there's a structure on the property. That's all for my statement.
Would you have anything else to add to your case?
No.
Questions?
Good evening. Can we go a little bit deeper into why you feel there's a uniqueness? When I look at the survey that we have that appears to be fairly rectangular lot. Through your statement, you acknowledge that we're going to be tearing down the existing house.
Yes.
And so in my mind, that tells me we have a blank slate. And by having a blank slate, then my question would be, I'll start with uniqueness. If we have a blank slate, why can't we be building something that is in compliance with code?
Yeah, so I mentioned the setbacks that the community has put in place. So if we were to build to both the county and the HOA's setback requirements, our building envelope would be very small. It would be about 30 feet deep. Also, because of the canal's location in relation to all the property, we'd like to be as far away from the canal as possible. And if most houses, pretty much every house on that street is not in compliance with the county setbacks, we would like to also try to keep the house away from the canal as much as we can and replace the bulkheads, like I said.
So how long have you owned the property?
2020, so about 4 years.
Okay. Yeah. So the requirements of the HOA and the county and the canal were all there before you bought the property?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Thank you. I'll stop for now.
So the existing property, it meets the Seabreeze setbacks at,
yes,
right now.
Yes, it's right at 20 feet. So it's within Seabreeze's, yes.
And most of the neighbors, I mean, we can only see a few there, but most of the neighbors all meet the Seabreeze setbacks?
Not the ones directly next to us. I measured. They actually are forward.
A little closer, yeah.
To the street, yes. A good 5-6 feet, easy.
And could you zoom out one more time, please?
So it's the ones just north of the square there, yeah.
So you said they're actually closer to the street? Mm-hmm. What about the canal? That's sort of what I was looking at.
Oh, okay. They are closer to the canal than we are, I believe. A little bit. Probably the decking. As is the people across from us, their deck is right on the canal.
Yeah.
And diagonal as well, if you're looking at that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the picture I had before, I couldn't zoom out, but I was just looking at those few houses there, and they all looked like they were pretty close to the canal.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to be. Huh.
Have you spoken to neighbors?
Yes, many.
Yeah.
What's the overall reaction?
Actually, last month my company got another lot in this community. You might actually be able to see it from that map.
23, I think.
Yeah, I think it's 103 Draper, and that was approved for a very similar situation.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right where your cursor is, I believe.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So are you with are you the builder? Or?
I'm the builder, yeah, the contractor from Oak Construction.
Okay.
Another question real quick. I know it's 20 feet to the property line, but there looks like a quite a distance between the property line and Venetian Drive.
Yeah, I think that's about, I don't have an actual measurement, but it's probably at least 10 feet. The lot does slope, as you can see, which if you go to the bottom of the lot, it's a little closer than the top. But yeah, it's about 10 to 15 feet.
10 to 15?
Yeah.
Okay. To the blacktop?
Yeah.
One of the criteria is the exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. This is going to what Mr. Dr. Carson said. You know, you have a blank slate here, mm-hmm. And understanding the building setback line building line for Seabreeze. Understand that, but when you tear something down and you completely rebuild it, can you explain to me how that is not that practical difficulty is not created by the applicant?
Back to the bulkheads, I mean, the bulkheads do need to be replaced, and it'd be pretty difficult to do it with the house as it is. We'd at least have to rip up a lot of the hardscaping in the backyard. I don't even know if it's possible where it is now to get to the bulkheads. And also, we don't have a street view of the house, but I don't know the exact year it was purchased, but it was built, but it was much earlier than 2020. I would say it's probably at least 30 to 40 years old.
Yeah.
Mr. Sharp, we'll swear you in, sir.
Can I just clarify? I think, are you asking, though, you're asking if it's a blank slate, why are we not able to rebuild where exactly where the front setback is again?
Here's perhaps a...
Just clarify.
Just so you understand. There's case law in Delaware Superior Court that says when you have a blank slate, you have a blank slate. You have to really demonstrate why you can't comply. The five standards that this board has to look at, and you may have heard the board members recite them earlier and they were in your application, it's a pass-fail. If you fail in any of the five, you can't get your variance.
Okay.
So when we have a rectangular lot that is nothing on it, that's a bit of a heightened standard. We've had cases that have been to Superior Court where we've denied it, and the board, and it's been affirmed, and they've articulated that reason. So when Dr. Carson and Mr. Williams were asking those questions, the reason they were doing that is because we want to find out more about this property and why it can't comply. And I know you have a 30-foot deep building envelope, and I think probably the question that this board would like to hear, and I'm going to get to you in a minute. I see you nodding your head, and we're going to swear you in. But this is something for you to chew on, is why you can't build something that would fit within that building envelope. So with that in mind, I do want to get you sworn in. You've been patient. Can you give me your name and address?
Sure. Please? Brian Feldman, 9316 Chesley Road, Potomac, Maryland.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Thank you for being patient.
No worries. So one of the things that wasn't mentioned was we're on the floodplain, and we're, in fact, our house is on the floodplain. The water literally is this close to just running over it. It's very close right now, the way the house is. The house could go any day. I mean, the last couple of years, we've been literally just...
Watching cameras.
Yeah, watching cameras from our neighbors across the street. And our electrical is totally failing. When we put the microwave on, the house is like boo, 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 and literally like there's nothing else we can do with this home the way it's, I mean, we have to replace it. I wanted to say that. And the other thing is in the backyard with the bulkhead is like falling in. So, you know, initially when we bought the property, we're like, we'll just put an addition on. Great. We can't. Every builder we've interviewed has said we have to tear it down. So the uniqueness of it is just, you know, that we're on the floodplain, we have to raise it up. And with that, I think, you know, we have to have some
forward enough off of
forward enough to just give us some steps, some things to help us there. So I hope that explains a little better. My English isn't the best, but hopefully that helped a little bit.
So when we get to the uniqueness of the property, and I might be looking at it wrong, but if you met both setbacks, you'd be losing 2,500 square feet of your property, right? That's like over 20%. Am I looking at that right?
That sounds right, but...
So it sounds like it's, to me, it's like what has priority, the county code or Seabreeze?
Well, one happened so far before the other, from my understanding.
That has no bearing with the county, how we look at it. We don't enforce restrictive covenants.
Okay.
But, you have noted that you have restrictive covenants that bind your property and don't allow you to build to what would be the county's setback requirements because of that. So, you know, your site plan that you provide does note those. Your builder spoke to the building envelope that you have when you combine those two.
Question. I've heard the issues with the flooding, but I see a pool and I see a lower patio. Where is the flooding exactly, or is it like just a water table issue? Is it a flooding issue? Can you go more into
sure.
that?
We're going to be 4 feet.
Sure, you can go over there.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
we're going to be 4 feet up.
Literally right now, I mean, the water is right up to the, when on like the last few years, it has come up here, and it's just about ready to go over. I mean, it has come, so literally this part of the house, the whole right side is gone if it comes up, just by the way it was built before. This is a little higher, this deck, and that's where the pilings, I think, that we're requesting to put in. Again, I'm not a, that I'm a little bit of a novice.
That will be the new floor of the property. The whole property will be 4 feet raised. And to answer your question, typically the water comes up on the north end where he was pointing, the other end of where the pool is. But it would
come up everywhere. I mean, it's pretty.
Will the pool be raised?
Everything, yes.
Yeah.
I thought I saw that on here. But you said 4 feet?
Yeah. The new standing level will be.
We were really worried about that, and I just, for the future, would just wanted to make sure we had that comfort to raise it up, so just in case. And there's a lot of other properties that have done that in our neighborhood as well. Some that didn't, we chose with Oak to do that. We thought that would be a better solution.
If you zoom in, the one diagonal, there's about three that have already done the same.
Yeah, down on the far corner.
Where the other two pools are diagonal, they've done the same. All three of those homes.
And then these are, I think, Ann's is, these are kind of new as well.
They're already raised.
Ms. Feldman, if we could just have one person talk at a time.
I apologize.
Sorry. It's just hard on the transcript, please.
If your variance is granted, where will your vehicles park?
Great question. Right in the front. So
there's enough room between that and the street to park, or between your house and the property line?
Yeah. I think we'd,
Yeah, there would be about 22 feet to the fence. And most standard driveways are 18 by 18 is usually the minimum. I think there's plenty of space.
And again, a lot of the houses on the end have that whole, like, in front parking where people just kind of park their cars up in the front. So it's more of just having that's kind of how we envisioned it, that way.
Mr. Sharp, what else do you have?
Just piggyback on your question, Mr. Chairman. I want to clarify, because the kind of the older drawing that we had and the newer one that was presented to us today, it looks to me like the parking area would be on the southern corner of the property, southern front of the corner of the property. Is that where you're anticipating parking vehicles? I say that because I see there's also a noted retaining wall, which would split part of that front property area.
Yeah, so it'd be the south side there where that kind of fencey area is, and then maybe diagonally the other way, like in front of the retaining wall.
All right. And then to the retaining wall in place, and I believe, Mr. Hayes, you noted the property slopes to the rear. About how much of a slope is that? Do you know?
Sorry, I'm trying to look at the survey right now. Hey, currently it's not a very big slope. It looks like it's at the road is about 4.5 feet, and it slopes down to just under 4 feet, so about half a foot.
One of the things I was curious about, the prior home that was on the lot, because I believe it also encroached into the front yard setback area. Have you received any complaints about that since you've owned the property, about how close it was to the road?
What, I mean, the prior home?
Current property?
Yeah, the home that's on there now.
No.
I believe it is, up to 20 feet, I think. So I just want to make sure that there are no complaints there.
I feel like we're in line with the others, like when, what do I know? I come out and...
Did you by chance look at averaging the front yard setback to see what your neighboring properties were? Because there is a code provision that allows, if there's front yard setbacks, you can average that. Did you look at that?
Yeah, we did look into that. Just because the new house is proposing it to be basically 4 inches back, 20 feet, 4 inches back from the property line. We were just worried that it would be too close, and that we wouldn't give the result that we were hoping for, and not go to the expense of doing all that with a surveyor. We'd rather just get the exact setback that we want.
Well, the averaging would set a lower setback threshold, is what it would do. So if your neighbors on both sides were at 20 feet or a certain distance, then that would be the setback.
Yeah, and I do understand that. We don't know the exact measurement of the neighbors, so we didn't want to go to that risk.
Understood.
The expense of getting a surveyor to do that, we didn't want to do that. We'd rather just do this and be certain and not go through all that work and then have to go do this anyways.
And last question, did you look at other building options, perhaps a narrower, wider home that would have, if not been in compliance, perhaps more in compliance with the code than what has been presented today?
I think what we try to do is do the best we can to, given the different factors we had, to try to make the home, you know, fit different things within, you know, obviously within the HOA, but also within, you know, obviously some of it doesn't fit with the county, but doing the best we can given some of the unfortunate things that we have going on with the property.
I understand. Thank you. No further questions.
So the grant of variance is been stated, there's five things that have to be met. And the two of them that I'm struggling with is the uniqueness of the property and then not created by the applicant. So, because
the second one was what?
Not created by the applicant. Because you are starting with a blank slate. So if you could explain those to me and try to convince me, I would greatly appreciate it. Because I am familiar with the area, and I think the house it'll fit in with the area, with the new houses that are there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll talk about the uniqueness first. We've all mentioned it before, and we think there's quite a few things that make this property unique. First being the neighborhood that it's in. I mean, and it's the restrictions that are put on it by that. And the bulkheads, I mean, are a major concern. They couldn't rebuild the house they have on there now to replace the bulkhead. So that's not unique to this neighborhood, but it's definitely unique. I'm sorry. It's not unique to this house, but it's unique to this neighborhood and any lot that's on a canal. That's a concern, and the house definitely does need to be raised up to address the concerns that they have, which are they don't have any fault for the way that the water has risen and encroached on their lot. Sorry, can you repeat the second reason?
Well, the second one was not created by the applicant.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
I apologize.
So you didn't create this. You didn't create the situation that you're in and why you're coming and asking for a variance.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't create the HOA covenants. I mean, these were in place long before they purchased their lot.
Can I just say one thing about, you mentioned about the neighbors. I will say that the front setback, I can't imagine any of the neighbors having any problems with it, and it even just the part forward that it's gonna come. We've spoken to the neighbors on the other side many times, and we have a giant tree back there that we're removing, and she's thrilled because it's gonna make their view, because the view is straight down the canal into the bay. She's like so excited about what we're doing and has seen our plans, and I can't wait for you to have that tree removed because I can sit on my deck with my family and have such a great view. So anything that we're doing, and that's the beauty of this neighborhood, if you know it, that's fabulous, is the back and the view and down the bay. And so there's nothing that's going to impact any of the neighbors with that fact. So the front variance, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, the HOA is they have given their approval for this. So, I mean, I know they don't have any bearing on the county's decision, but they have no problem with it.
Mr. Sharp, do you have anything else?
Not at this time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes.
You all may have a seat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Anything else from the board? At this time, I'll close the public hearing for case 12992 for Brian and Wendy Feldman and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we deny case number 12992 for the Feldmans. I believe that the exceptional practical difficulty has been created by the applicant.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Hastings.
I'm going to vote nay. I do think the property does have uniqueness because of the covenants of the sea breeze and trying to meet those covenants, plus the distance of the property to the pavement of 10 to 15 feet.
Mr. Williamson.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Dr. Carson.
Aye for my reason.
Mr. Sharp, if I vote nay, how does that go if it's tied?
It fails for lack of three affirmative votes pursuant to board rules. It would, they need three affirmative votes to get the variance.
Yeah, I understand. I vote nay, but with that, it's 2-2, so it's still denied. Correct, Mr. Sharp?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.